Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Mann hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Sabres game tonight. They're playing at 9 o'clock out in Denver to take on the Colorado Avalanche. Pre-game right here on WGR. We'll get going at 8 o'clock with Brian Koziel and Paul Hamilton, who we did speak to earlier in hour number one. The Bills are back to work today. We'll get a word in on them when Sal Capaccio joins us in just about a half hour. And coming up later today, this afternoon, college football, as yesterday's Sugar Bowl was postponed due to the terror attacks in the early mornings yesterday. I believe the death count has risen to 15. For more on that story, of course, our sister station WBEN has the latest there. The game has been postponed to today at 4 o'clock. But we go back to the phones as we're going to connect to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And we go to Alan. Alan, how are we doing this morning?
Good. How are you doing? To disagree friendly, I don't agree with you about Carson Wentz. And if you remember in 21 when Frank Reich was his coach, he was having a great year, and all of a sudden something went backwards on him. I think he lost his last three games, and the one game he had to get in was the Jacksonville game. And
oh,
that
awful.
Was a year that it was his worst game of his professional career in Jacksonville. Well, Jacksonville kind of plays well against Indy anyway, and they have historically for years. And I just think this weekend, I think Denver's going to pace that team. I think they're going to roll them by two or three touchdowns. I don't know what it is in me. Denver plays that team tough. They hate that team. My daughter lives in Colorado Springs, and she talks about, you know, her boyfriend's father out there is a huge Broncos fan and how they just hate the Chiefs. And if you remember the block field goal last year, they beat them in Denver and should have beat them in Kansas City again. And I think they're going to attack Wentz because he's a statue back there.
That's the thing. Their tackles, though, are so bad. Wentz can't move. I think you're spot on there.
And I just one other thing, too. I'm very shocked at James Cook not making the Pro Bowl. I thought, you know, I'm not a Pro Bowl guy. It's a touch football game. It's ping pong or whatever the heck they do. And they play video games and stuff. So it's kind of like a joke nowadays. But James Cook leading the league in touchdowns, not getting in. I think he'll be an alternate eventually because half these guys don't want to go anyway. Allen won't go, so they'll find some guy like Huntley again or – well, you know, who's the quarterback for the Dolphins? Huntley?
Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but Huntley currently playing, yeah.
Yeah, and one thing on that, too, Tua probably is done for the year, so if Miami came here, we'd see Huntley. And I read online this morning, Adam Schefter had it out there, that he's got his back is really bad. He's not playing this Sunday again. And he's probably done for the season, even if they make the playoffs. So, I mean, you take that. I know Tua is their quarterback, but even if he was in, I think the Bills would smoke him. But anyway, that's my opinion on Wentz. I'm not a fan of his. I know he had one good year and led him to the Super. He was a backup. Then he went, and he's got good leadership skills, but he just can't get it done. I don't know what it is. But anyway, take care.
Yeah, Alan, thanks for the call. I actually don't know if he has good leadership skills. I think it's a big issue with him. I think that's why the Eagles moved off of him, is he was not great in their locker room at all.
Right, and it feels like ever since that all happened, it felt like there was something else going on in that locker room too, just because of the way everything went down with Doug Peterson leaving shortly after and everything like that. Like, it felt like the vibes were just off there. But hey, they got the Super Bowl, so nobody really asked questions, and you just kind of move on. But it's tough because, like I said before, like, I'll defend Carson Wentz forever, but it's right now you can't really defend him because he's not what he used to be. He's an older player. He's injured. He's not that he's on a bad team by any means, because the Chiefs are amazing, but he's going to be playing with their backups. He's not going to be able to
build a career as a backup. He got his big deal.
He should have been a long-term starter. Like, he was starting caliber. We just didn't get to see his career to the full effect. I mean, again, if he doesn't tear his ACL, or even if he doesn't hurt his back, I really think that he's maybe not still in the Eagles, because there, like, again, there was weird things that going on there. But I think he's still a starter in the league. He might not be the best starter in the league, but I mean, look at a guy like Jared Goff. Jared Goff, not that he went through injuries, but he went through a lot of scrutiny with everything that happened with the Rams.
Oh, yeah.
And then he gets traded one for one for another quarterback. And then that quarterback goes on and wins the Super Bowl right away. And Jared Goff is still a starter in the league, and he's still helping his team get to potentially their first Super Bowl in literally forever.
I was going to say, I think, like, inarguably, it's been a win-win for both teams.
We're talking
about the Pro Bowl. We'll talk James Cook there in a second, because I do think it's a really good shout. Led the league in rushing touchdowns of 15, and he's a second-team alternate. It is what it is. I feel more bad for these guys because it's still in their contracts, making the Pro Bowls and stuff with, like, their fifth-year option as well, some of these rookies making it. But, like, Goff, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFC. He makes the Pro Bowl this year along with Darnold and Jaden Daniels. And you look at the years he's had in Detroit. This is his fourth season in Detroit. First year, they were really bad, 3-10-1. There's a famous video when they won their first game. His wife was crying. And it was a big moment for them as well, especially leaving a team that, outside of his rookie year, he had a lot of team success there. Then the next year, they're 9-8, missed the playoffs, but his stats were back up there. He's 4,400 yards passing, 29 touchdowns, 7 picks. And then these last 2 years, they make it to the NFC title game last year, and he throws 30 touchdowns. This year, another 4,000-yard season, 36 touchdowns, 10 picks. And if they win on Sunday night, they are the number one seed. First time in Lions history, they'll be the one seed. And he'll probably have around, like, 38 to almost 40 touchdown passes if he has himself a great game.
Yeah.
And they'll probably be lining up to win at least another playoff game, which is something for Lions fans. Winning multiple playoff games? Hell yeah!
Unheard of.
Like, let's go!
But again, going back to the whole, Carson Wentz thing here, I'm not trying to say, it's just because of the injuries. Because there was other things. Like I said, there was problems going on in Philadelphia. You could tell.
That's why they drafted a guy in the second round in 2020.
Right. But leading up to that point, it was, again, if he doesn't hurt his ACL, if he doesn't tear his ACL, if he doesn't hurt his back, one of those things doesn't happen, he's in a completely different situation. He's maybe a starter in, like, I don't know, because he leaves Philadelphia in 2020, let's say.
But goes to Indy.
Let's say that still does happen. He goes to Indy in 21, and he's healthier, right? He doesn't have the back injury, or he doesn't have the knee injury with the history there. There's a good chance he might still be in Indy as the starter. I mean, granted, they might still draft Anthony Richardson, but still, like, that's not going very well.
Yeah, his career really did fall apart due to injuries, and I think him personally as well.
Yeah, right. Well, it's a lot of mental stuff, too.
Like, I do think, though, on Sunday, because their tackles are bad and he can't move. You're seeing a lot of Mahomes having to move around a lot. He's still taking a beating.
Right.
And so Wentz, who already can't move, his scrambling ability has died as his career's gone on. I think that's going to be a tough day for him. And that's where it's like, Denver, just do the job, get it done,
right,
and you're in. Dolphins I don't think it's official, but they're probably going to start Tyler Huntley against the Jets. And then the Bengals will play the Steelers. We'll see if the Bengals can even beat the Steelers. I mean, we'll see on that. I think the Steelers have a lot to play for, whether it's playing Baltimore or Houston. And for a team that has not won a playoff game since 2016, there's a clearly more favorable avenue. But I will say this: if I'm Baltimore, I don't want to see Pittsburgh at all. I don't want to see Pittsburgh at all, because that team. Look, you had a great game against them earlier in January or earlier in December. But that team, for the most part, has had Lamar Jackson's number. It's had the Ravens' number. You've had a tough time with them. I'd rather not see them in the wild card round, knowing I've got to play Pittsburgh. And I said this when it was potentially Pittsburgh's the 3 and Baltimore's the 6. The idea then of Baltimore, yeah, sure, you get to host Pittsburgh. Then you got to go to Buffalo. And then the likely chance of, even if you get through Buffalo, you got to go to Kansas City. That is a tough road to go.
It's a long road.
Yeah, for any team at all. That's where, like, for Buffalo, you get Denver. It'll maybe be a tough game, but you should probably be able to, like, close that out based on your talent. Then Baltimore at home, probably a little bit better. You feel better going into that game. Then Kansas City. It's a hard road regardless if, you know, things fall as they may. But for Baltimore, that's grueling, getting the divisional matchup that you don't particularly play well against. Then Buffalo, then Kansas City. Let's go back to the phones here. We've got Cliff on the line. Cliff, how are we doing today?
Hey, I got a couple comments. I'll make it quick. So I think the Pro Bowl actually helps Josh Allen. So my reasoning is there's only two of us. So how did we get to the second seed? There's only two Pro Bowlers, and Baltimore, who has nine, has the 3 seed. We must have the MVP, and they must have, you know, a better group of top-end talent, which I think our team is better. But, you know, that's just my, you know, my 2 cents on that. If Lamar is so good, he has more Pro Bowlers. Josh Allen only has 2 Pro Bowlers, himself and Deion Dawkins. That would look more highly on Josh's record and whatnot. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Cliff, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
And I agree with you on that point. I mean, for me, it's just excluding the quarterbacks. The Ravens have 8 Pro Bowlers. The Bills have 1.
Yep.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And excluding the quarterbacks.
And even if you want to exclude the defensive players, there's only 4 offensive players, or there are 4 offensive players for the Ravens.
Yeah,
and one of them's the running back.
I think the MVP discussion is done. I think Allen is going to get it.
It should be.
I also think for a lot of people, and I genuinely mean this, I think for a lot of voters, the fact that Derrick Henry is going to finish 2nd in the league in rushing, only behind the 9th player to rush for 2,000 yards, does not bode well for an MVP candidacy. Especially because I think, funny enough, we've actually sort of fallen back into genuinely giving it to the most valuable player rather than just like the highest stats, looking at Lamar last year. And then this year with Allen, you know, Jackson's been incredible. There's no denying that. We are watching some of the best quarterback play ever between Allen and Burrow and Mahomes and Jackson. And then you look over in the NFC and you see some of these young guys like Jane Daniels, who was taking what was perceived as, and was rightfully so, a bad organization in Washington right back to the playoffs. Goff, we just mentioned how well he's playing. You know, I think we're seeing some of the best quarterback play. Maybe I don't want to throw out ever, but definitely in recent memory. And so I think that's going to play against his case. It is surprising, though, that guys like James Cook are not on there, because I don't want to like discount his season just because he's not a Pro Bowler. 15 touchdowns. If they let him go out there against New England, he should get 1,000 yards as well, which would be 2 straight 1,000-yard seasons for him. He did make it last year as well. He is also a second alternate. So if one guy doesn't go, which could be Henry or Joe Mixon or Jonathan Taylor, he'll get in. It's more surprising Mixon made it and not James Cook.
I was just about to say that.
That's more surprising.
We were talking before about guys like Christian Benford not getting on there. And again, this is all stats, and you've got some of the things you have to base it off the eye test. James Cook and Joe Mixon, stat-wise. Joe Mixon has 11 touchdowns, James Cook 15. Joe Mixon, 993 yards. James Cook, 981 rushing yards, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
James Cook, 258 receiving yards. Joe Mixon, 304. The one thing that I think gets it, because they are running backs, Mixon has... Ooh, actually, I read this wrong earlier. No, this gives a better case to James Cook. Mixon has 240 rushing attempts, and James Cook has only 197.
So really should be James Cook.
Yes.
The Mixon poll is very weird. It's very, very weird.
And you think – so I'm thinking back here, like looking back at the season and accolades and stuff that players get throughout the season. Joe Mixon had that one game in week three where he was like pretty good and won AFC Offensive Player of the Week because they couldn't give it to Allen 2 weeks in a row.
See, I'm like thinking about it too, and I'm like, I can't remember a game where Joe Mixon went off this year.
He had the one game against, I think it was their week three game.
I'm looking now.
Week four against Jacksonville, 101 yards, one touchdown, and like that was it. But he won Offensive Player of the Week, and he also had a good week, I guess, against Indianapolis this past week, but they barely win 29-27.
This would have been week one against Indianapolis. He was very good.
I'm reading this.
159 yards and a touchdown. That was the week
this backwards.
Was very good.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. The schedule flipped on my screen. But still, right, that was very good. And then he had another week in week three and week four and week five. So he had a few strung together in the beginning of the year where they were good, but it was never like notable, right? Mm-hmm. Like he was never the guy. And I'm not saying James Cook has had those had games where he's the guy, but there's been a lot of moments where you look at that offense and it's like, yeah, because James Cook was really good that game.
I'll say I watched him kill Miami in week two, like alone.
Yeah, it was basically just him.
He didn't even touch the ball that much. He had 18 touches.
Right.
And three touchdowns.
Yeah. And so it's just, I just look at like Joe Mixon's stats, and yes, he has had consistency, I guess.
Oh my God, not even. He had 12 touches, three touchdowns. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
In that game against Miami.
11 rushing attempts, 78 yards, two touchdowns. He had one catch for 17 yards and a touchdown.
Man. Oh, yeah. God. No, I look at the two side by side. And again, it's a stats thing, so you don't want to just base it just off what you see on the paper. But, I mean, again.
I mean, come on.
When you give the ball to James Cook, you know something explosive is going to happen. Joe Mixon is kind of the opposite.
I don't feel that way with Joe Mixon at all.
No, he's going to just push his way through whatever. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, his yards per attempt is laughable compared to James Cook.
Yeah. For this weekend, we do have some news on the Patriots side of things. There'll at least be some excitement. Drake May is going to start. There were some rumblings that maybe he wouldn't. It'd be Jacoby Brissett. Are they going to try to keep him healthy? We talked to Sal earlier this week, too, about like the pride aspect of this. And you can't just go out there and try to lose. These guys won't allow it. They won't let that happen. I like Drake May. I like watching him a lot. He had some beautiful throws 2 weeks ago against the Bills. So I'm kind of excited to watch him play again because I think if they can get it right, whether it be the coaching or the overall talent, you know, whatever it is, I think they've got their quarterback. I think they've got their guy. So mm-hmm. I'm happy to watch him now when the team is bad and I don't have to worry about him, knowing in a few years, every time I see a highlight, it's going to strain my heart. Because I think that's coming in like 2 or 3 years. If they can get the head Gerard Mayo is still up in the air. We don't know if it's going to be a one-and-done kind of deal. The talent level's still low. If they figure it out, though, all of a sudden every highlight I see is just going to break me, mm-hmm. which is tough because I was a huge May guy when he was coming out of North Carolina.
I've actually heard a lot of discussion today from some callers with Jeremy and Joe this morning of like, should the Bills lose so the Patriots don't get the first overall pick and it kind of not sets their rebuild back, but it like kind of slows it down maybe a little bit. And I don't know if it really makes that much of a difference. What'd they go from one to like four?
Cool. They can't trade that pick.
Yeah, but they need to draft a quarterback.
No, but like they need more talent.
If they trade the pick, they'd get more.
That's exactly the point.
That makes sense.
They need more talent around the quarterback. If they move back to four, who's trading with you? You just have and the fourth overall pick is wonderful. It's great. It'll be a great, but it should be a great player for them. But if they've got the number one overall pick, they're moving back to four. They maybe pick up another two, a first next year. That could change things. I'd be for it. This late game, I hope McDermott has all of the bad decisions.
Yeah.
Quote unquote bad decisions. And I'll take it. I will run with headcanon so hard. I really will. If that happens, I will run with headcanon so hard of like, no. 40 chess, baby. He hated the Patriots when Belichick was there. He still hates them now.
Who doesn't?
The Jets and the Dolphins have kind of taken over like the main hatred because the Patriots have been bad. No. This is a guy that actively wanted to embarrass the Patriots when Belichick was there and the Bills were getting good. Don't forget that.
I mean, it would be a like galaxy brain move.
Let's go.
To do that, which would be...
I don't even think it would. It'd be like, it's close. We're going to go for 4th and 8. Interesting. Let's see if Mitch can do it. If he does, good for him. If not, it's a shame. We just lost a meaningless game. Oh, you guys moved to the 4th overall pick? That's awesome. Good for you. That's awesome. Yeah, it's good. Hey, way to pick up that win. It means so much.
Mayo's on the sideline trying to just like hold in like a celebration. Or he's like faking a celebration, like, yeah, we won.
That's what I want. That's what I want. So bad. Let's go back to the phones here. We've got John on the line. John, how are we doing today?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I got a kind of an obscure trivia question for you. You should probably ask Salas off the air when he comes in.
Mm-hmm.
What do Robert Sala and Marv Levy have in common?
I do not know.
Both of them won two games on teams that ended up winning four. Marv came in after they fired Hank Bulla. He went 2-5 at the end of that season. And, of course, we all know Sala was 2-3 when he got fired. So they Kelly threw three touchdown passes in the season opener that year. And here's an interesting fact. They were two. Pete Metzler, Thurman, and Andre Reed, who all played in the Super Bowl years. So, and the next week on Sports Illustrated, back then was, you know, big magazine. The headline on, you know, Kelly was on the cover, and it said, "A Namath with knees." You know, they were comparing him to Namath had terrible knees. So, yeah, you really got to know your Bills trivia to get that. But I think Sal might be able to figure it out if you give him 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, thanks for the call, John. I mean, it's a little. I mean, he came in and they go 2-5. Sala was 2-3 and then was fired. I mean, there's somewhat a connection. Yeah, I mean, somewhat. Not really. I think Sala's going to get another coaching job.
I'm excited to see where he goes because
it's not going to be immediate. It's not going to be immediate.
But he did go right to the Packers as like a defensive consultant, which I thought was like the funniest thing because, you know, Aaron Rodgers and all that. But I'm interested to see where he goes because he is a defensive guy, and we've seen kind of the shift here. It seems like teams are looking more towards offensive head coaches. But, I mean, the Commanders hired Dan Quinn. You know, like it's not a given that it's all going to be offensive head coaches from here on out. But
no, because I think Flores is going to be
Brian Flores is another one.
Shout this year.
He's Robert Sala in a year, right? Like Flores is going to get opportunities this offseason. Sala's going to get
hired as a defensive coordinator and then hope to go again.
I mean, hey, if Brian Flores leaves Minnesota, who's to say Sala doesn't just go right to Minnesota?
No, I think this is a really good idea. I wonder too,
especially because he can learn. I mean, I guess learn under Kevin O'Connell. I don't. Haven't they crossed paths before, him and O'Connell?
Sala?
Yeah. Wouldn't it? Because O'Connell was O'Connell in San Francisco as part of the Shanahan tree or no? I think of somebody else.
Look this up. On Sala though, or not on Sala, but on Flores, I wonder how much his comments, like the stuff that came out about Tua, actually doesn't hurt him as much as maybe people thought.
Yeah.
Instead it becomes like this was just being coached maybe too abrasively and maybe too rudely, was just voicing his opinions of this guy is simply not good enough. And ultimately has kind of been proven correct. And him more just, he had frustration. And we know that he had frustrations with the team wanting to tank, wanting to go for Tom Brady, wanting to do all this. He wanted the best guy for the job, where it seemed like the Dolphins wanted the best, you know, PR guy or what have you. Because remember, Herbert in that draft class was not perceived as highly as Tua. Earlier in the college year had the whole tank for Tua feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so Miami getting him was maybe, I think, more of a PR. Tua is not bad by any means.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had Justin Herbert with those teams, We're having very, very and Herbert, I'm not even going to say, is on the Allen Mahomes tree yet. I mean, he's not on their tier,
right?
But you do wonder if he goes to a team
like Miami, then everything else stays the same. Kevin O'Connell, Rams.
So he's not
49ers.
He's McVay.
Sorry, I thought for some reason. I mean, same kind of.
It's the same sort of offense,
concept,
yeah.
but anyway, my point there was is like I just feel like Robert Sala could kind of learn from a guy like that. I mean, look at what O'Connell has done as a head coach so far.
Love him.
I mean, he's been there since 2022, and the Vikings have been super solid. I mean, look at what he's doing with Sam Darnold. I know that's a player, but you got to think that he can also do that with a coach too. I mean, I wonder what he's done with Brian Flores, right? Like, sometimes it takes that kind of, you know, learning period for a guy like Sala to, you know, learn stuff that he wasn't necessarily able to when he was with the terrible organization like the Jets. I mean, Sala comes from the 49ers, which that's a great place to learn from and jump into the next level.
Yeah, really, outside of them having injuries, they win.
Yeah,
they
right.
win a lot.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know where he goes at this point because, like you said, it's probably going to be a next year thing. He's going to be a coordinator this year, mm-hmm. but or next this coming year, I should say. But he's one of those guys where if he lands in another AFC opponent, I'm a little nervous because the Bills have always had issues with his defense, and I don't really want to have to worry about that.
No, like, but you also, just with him too, how much of the toxic sludge of the Jets is going to kind of be worn off where it's like, Salah just had no choice.
Yeah, that, right.
That he
right.
was sort of a straw man out there.
Well, and that's what makes me more nervous is because, like I said, he has the idea with the defensive structures and things. If he gets in the right team with the right people, he's going to be really good.
I don't know if really good. I think he has a very good defensive mind. I'd like to see him on another team because I think he does deserve another chance. How bad the Jets front office and ownership really has been.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like he was getting a lot out of the team last year. And then this year, it's sort of they made the really quick jump fire. And, I mean, they've been terrible since. So we'll see. He should be an interesting name to see where he goes as a defensive coordinator because I think absolutely. And then if Flores actually is able to leave Minnesota and become a head coach somewhere else, because like you've mentioned, defensive coordinators have had difficulties getting coaching jobs. Not always. I mean, McDonald over in Seattle, Atlanta's guy whose name I'm blanking on, Raheem Morris, he's over there. You know, these are defensive guys. They've been able to get head coaching jobs. So we'll see. 803-0550, the number two call. We'll get more of a word on the Bills. It's coming up next. Sal Capaccio joins the show. You're listening to WGR.